Hello, this is Effie Pilarino, and I have the pleasure today to have in our company Urs Bolt. Welcome, Urs.
Hi, Effie. Nice to be new on your podcast today.
We were recently together up in Davos in the cold, sunny and crispy mountains, and we spent a few days together around the Crypto Mountain Rocks event that we both participated, but you had several other events that you were part of, both at the Caspian Week and the China Day at Blockbase. And I really wanted to share with our audience some of your experiences that were largely focused on Asia and China. And as you are a person that's building bridges between Switzerland and China in fintech and in blockchain, we have a lot to talk about. So I'm going to give it over to you. First of all, tell us a few things about what you're doing in your advisory business at Bolt now.
Yes, sure. I'm independent advisor now for soon 1.5 years, and my name, I'm lucky with my name, so that's why together with a friend we were brainstorming what would be the best for me to represent what I am. And I'm always full of energy, always full of entrepreneurial ideas, and at the end we came out with Bolt Up now. So Bolt is my brand, and that's what I represent, and it's working quite well, especially also in a country like China with different way of pronunciation. So thanks to Usain Bolt, the sprinter we all know, Bolt is a well-known name and everyone knows how to speak it out. So what I'm basically doing is, given my more than 30 years background in banking, technology, mainly investment banking, platforms, and also wealth management, I'm bringing in this know-how of rolling out service platforms and making innovation happen on the client level, customer level in banks, but also from a technological point of view. And I offer this also in conjunction with the latest fintech, wealth tech, reg tech, and of course, blockchain is one of the new technologies allowing even more possibilities to make this happen. So my main focus is business development and market development. And the building bridges is actually easy to explain. I want to be the person which can help Chinese businesses and organizations to find their way through Switzerland, to set up local presence. And on the other hand, when I'm in China, I'm speaking a lot in China, and I'm now quite well established to actually act as the person who can talk about my experience, the Swiss wealth management expertise, but also where we're very strong is in deep technology, again related to regulatory tech and especially wealth management technology, also called wealth tech. So these are the areas where I'm very active. And on top of this, I'm talking also now with organizations in China which want to go international.
Great, great. I remember that you shared a little color about your recent visit at the headquarters of Ant Financial. And that would be nice if you told us again about the impressive headquarters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in October, I was invited to be a keynote speaker and panelist at the Hangzhou Bay Forum. Hangzhou is in the Zhejiang province and is where the headquarters of Alibaba and also its group company Ant Financial is, which is actually, you know, Ant Financial is where Alipay comes from. And all these financial services, including the platform from Ant Financial. And in the panel, there was also a senior, a VP, a vice president from the cybersecurity department. They have about 2,000 people alone at Ant Financial cybersecurity department. Can imagine that at Alibaba it's much more. And this person was, I was meeting him then the day after at Ant Financial together with some of his colleagues and specialists. And we were talking about how can you increase the financial and regulatory supervision in the so large and widespread digital financial sphere in China. And I mean, despite all the headlines we can read from the outside, there's still huge gaps, you know, in terms of development, how China has to basically develop itself, because you can imagine 30 years ago they still worked with Abacus. I mean, they had systems which were not compatible with the Western world, and so from mid 2000s suddenly these companies, I mean, Alibaba was founded a bit more than 20 years ago, they're 21 years now in the making, but then once smartphones came out, suddenly everything went mobile. And China just simply jumped several generations of technology, and now everyone uses smartphones. And they do that for any kind of financial services. And one of the areas is peer lending. And peer lending, as we all know, and you can just follow Bloomberg, but also Financial Times, they cover this quite well, because it's a phenomena which we haven't seen elsewhere in the world, that they had a lot of peer lending, or let's say crowd lending, which was then collecting money, which was then given to individuals or small businesses. But after all, it looks like that many of these schemes were actually snowball systems, pyramid schemes. And the regulator usually in China, and also the participants in the financial system, they work differently, they function differently. They use usually the players, they use the opportunities given by the market, and if it's not regulated, some service providers and product are offered in the market, and it can become very quickly quite a big business. And that was the case with peer lending. In the meantime, the regulator put up the pressure for about 1 year now, or even more, and I think it's now about 80% of these platforms will have closed very soon, or already close. So they have to actually increase their capabilities. And now when we always hear about the problem of, I mean, in the Western world, we cannot really comprehend what it means to have CCTV all over, facial recognition, etc. And everything is geo-tracked with the smartphones. But the fact is, such a large country with 1.4 billion people, to manage this and to supervise it, you simply need machines. You can't do it the way we are used to do it. So we have to also understand that this is a challenge, and it is a huge challenge in the rapidly developing financial services sector too, to protect the people and also to assure that there won't be any social unrest. Maybe you remember there were demonstrations on the street about people who lost all their savings. And now one can say, these are stupid people, they invest in something they shouldn't have done. A fact is, the financial literacy, you don't build this up in just 30 years. You need to really help the people to better understand, but also you need to rein in all these platforms to be diligent. And this is a huge challenge. And the cybersecurity department of Ant Financial, where Alipay is part of it, is obviously an important element in offering financial services, basic banking services, including exchanging money for lending, etc. So one way to do it is to basically set up systems which can help to monitor the market and to act very quickly on a digital level to interfere and to maybe interrupt something going on which doesn't work properly. So that was basically what we talked about, the meeting. Since then, I met them again twice. So it was very interesting to be on site, to talk with the people and learn about it.
Would you say from all this ocean and your experience there that big tech giants like Alipay, like Alibaba, that they are in a self-regulatory mode trying to establish standards in the market that are good business practices, or are they reactive, just looking to protect themselves from existing regulations?
It's a mix of both, actually. What I learned is that because the banks, traditional, the big banks, as we know, ICBC, Bank of China, the Agricultural Bank, and another one, their technological capabilities are not on the level to implement a financial system supervision on a retail level as the government or the regulator would like to. So they actually talk with Ant Financial or Alibaba, but also with Tencent, which is the company which has WeChat, and WeChat Pay is the most used mobile payment channel in China, with more than 1 billion, probably about 1.2 billion people using it. And then you have also Ping An and other platforms which are not even really known in the West. So what to maintain sustainable business model and operating model, it's in the interest of Ant Financial and Tencent and the others to actually be in a way proactive, but also to be in close contact with the regulator, with the Central Bank of China, etc., to actually implement systems which can help
Them.
to keep the financial system sound and also to avoid any systemic risk.
I got you. I got you. You know, one of the acquisitions that Alibaba made recently, and you know about it, and I do because I'm Greek, is this German company called Data Artisans, and the founder and CEO is Greek, which is a data company focused on stream processing, which really means that you can take data real time and analyze it and you know, make decisions based on that on the spot, which is extremely powerful, especially if we think of a future of the Internet of Things. And Alibaba has been working closely with them for many years, and they also have a platform called Apache Flinch that they've developed together, and so on. And I mentioned this because obviously big data and cybersecurity are, I can imagine, huge issues in all these big tech companies, especially because of financial services. So let's however, go back to Davos and ask you to tell us some of your takeaways from the China Day at Blockbase and the Caspian Week. And you also had a direct video conferencing with China at Crypto Mountain Rock. So there's a lot that you could share with us. I don't know where you would like to start.
Yeah, I'm going to just give a rough overview. So obviously at Crypto Mountain Rocks, which was the first time present day in the Hotel Europe with its famous piano bar and with its dedicated built container out there where the public or the people in the public sphere, and it was all in the public sphere, so there were no tickets needed, and it was basically from a security point of view quite easy to approach because there was no security. So I was at Crypto Mountain Rocks hosting talks, and one of them was obviously to have a live interview with expert from Shanghai, David Chang, who is the vice president of the Shanghai Blockchain Association, but then also with a young Chinese expert here based in Switzerland, Shua Yuan, and she's with Long Hash supporting Chinese startups to settle here in Switzerland. and elsewhere in Europe. But then also China Day, which was focused mostly on crypto exchanges, but also blockchain technology for the One Belt, One Road initiative. So basically how can blockchain help to expand the economic ecosystem of China. And then I had obviously the interview with Blocks Live TV, which was right after the panel talk about China's blockchain ecosystem. And what was really interesting is also to contrast that with the knowledge of the people at the China Day. There were also several Chinese startups presenting, and I could really feel that Switzerland, the crypto valley and its wider geographical area, including Liechtenstein, has a real advantage still, because we just clustered all these people with the know-how in Switzerland. They're coming from all around the world, from far away, from nearby. And it's also because the regulatory environment in Switzerland is pretty clear. I mean, when you look at China, it is expected that they will come out with a regulation for digital assets. This is all around in the expert talks, also with very influential people, and I'm in close touch with those. But it seems it takes a bit longer. But this has also, is the background is also that the ICOs, which were launched early 2017 in China, they were blocked by the regulator simply for the reason which we saw in other, and given my understanding, they had to block it because many were scams. So they basically didn't allow. So if they restart this, and it will be in a regulated way, then I think China will immediately become the biggest market for digital assets, for tokenization of assets, liquid, less liquid, non-bankable assets, etc. And then when you look now at the ecosystem of the platform businesses like Alibaba's, Tencent, Baidu, Ping An, all these huge platforms, one can imagine that if there would be a crypto yuan, for instance, which I haven't heard much about lately, to be the digital currency being used in this, then you can start to imagine how China wants to actually develop its digital economy. And that's why it was also became clear to me after these talks, interviews, and bilateral meetings that China will become the biggest blockchain economy. Not just because they're big, but it's because the government, China's government, strongly supports the development of blockchain technology. So they basically support a smart economy built on digitalized assets and smart contracts, but also digital identity. And the aspect of digital identity is extremely important. And as David Chang said in interview, once you accept in China, and you have no much choice, obviously, that you are, that everything is censored, and that WeChat is basically the government has access to it, and we know it is censored. But once you accept this and you work within this framework, there are no limitations. I mean, the opportunities are huge, and that's exactly what we have to look at. We can like it, we may like it or not, but fact is that in China this is happening, and it's already to a large extent implemented. Now the challenge is, nonetheless, how do you look at the non-technical aspects? Because there is much more than this. The main drivers of this, that this is happening, is also cultural, and it has to do how people deal with technology, including robotics, etc. And it seems like almost that we see now cultural gaps opening or becoming apparent between a Western Christian-oriented philosophy and the Confucianism and the Eastern, the Asian religious beliefs and cultural identity. And I think that could be very interesting from a meta level to follow.
You raise an extremely important and valid and significant topic, which is the value issues, conflicts, and decisions that we will have to make in adopting technology going forward, because technology has become so much part of our life. We can already speak about what's called transhumanism, which means that, we are more robots than we like to think ourselves, and robots are becoming more human-like. We are sort of converging more, and of course, naturally, our values and our cultures are going to shape this convergence. And what you're saying is that it's a complete, they're at a completely different stage in the East than in the West, or we have completely different approaches. So
Absolutely.
we might
Well,
end up to have, instead of the white and the Caucasian white and the Asian people, we might be talking about two sort of transhuman cultures that shape
yeah,
up.
that would be probably a topic for another podcast or even a longer discussion. But my view is very clear. Machines, whether you call them robots, whether it's artificial intelligence or any technology which helps automating processes which are done manual or half manual, they're here to help humanity. So that's my firm belief. So I'm not fearing these technologies because I know humanity is also evolving and we go simply to the next steps. I mean, for me, it's unimaginable that any machine can copy the ingenuity of so what do I'm saying, the human brain and the creativity of it with all its social capabilities. We are far away from this, and we know that it's proven. I mean, just follow more the technical universities like ETH, etc. Talk with the people who are really implementing stuff, and rather than all the headlines and all the hypes. So we're still far away from it. Of course, the computing power is now massive. I mean, I see that with my hearing technology I have in my ear. It's now fully integrated with my smartphone. It's adaptive to the environment. I can listen. I mean, I'm actually right now talking with you via my hearing aids again. And I'm just waiting until Alibaba, and I think it should come from China because the Chinese have a strong need to understand English, for instance, and foreign languages. And for them, it's also very difficult to understand us. So I think because of their desire to automate and to use technology, they will come up with services which we haven't seen yet. And because of the scalability of the market, they will also come at an affordable price level.
That's great. Also, as you said, we could be talking on these topics for a longer time. I think that I want to start closing our discussion today, and thank you very much for sharing all your thoughts and experiences, and we should continue this discussion as things evolve. There's so much happening from the East, and we do need to understand better and interpret the news, because of course the news we can read, but the meaning, we need people like you to bring it to us that
Yeah,
have gone
I'm happy to
there.
do so.
So I would like to thank you, and hope to have another discussion with you soon.
Yeah, I hope that for those who are not aware yet, that you join Crypto Mountain Rocks from the 10th to the 12th of March in Davos, where we continue the spirit of open talks and in an unconventional way. So everyone who wants to know about it should go to cryptomountain.rocks and join these 3 days of interesting talk battles,
Yes,
etc.
we are both big fans. It's, as you said, an unconference setting right up in Davos in a season that is much quieter than during the World Economic Forum, obviously. And it's always been a great opportunity to meet people from around the world, ski in the morning and have interesting discussions and the famous talk battles of Crypto Mountain Rocks that you can participate in.
And
So,
not to forget your stand-up comedy,
yes, the stand-up comedy. I always go there and give a 1 hour stand-up comedy on crypto and Wall Street. And there's lots that has happened this year that will allow for a really interesting session. So, please, I want to thank you, Urs, for this. Share with our listeners your Twitter account, please.
Oh yes, my Twitter account is like my name, Urs, Urs Bolt, Bolt, at Urs Bolt. So very easy to find me, Google me up, and you find me definitely.
Great. And again, thank you so much.
Thank you, Efi. Talk to you.